Access to Technology, The Bottom Line by Dr. Alexa Posney. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Alexa Posney. Introduction by Anil Lewis. The first person I'd like to introduce is Dr. Alexa Posney. She is the Assistant Secretary of the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitation Services for the U.S. Department of Education. She was formerly the Commissioner of the Kansas Department of Education, and in 2007, she served as Director of the Office of Special Education Programs in the U.S. Department of Education. I find that spectacular. Not only is she serving in the Obama administration, but she served in the Bush administration, too. This is the type of collaborative person we need on our team. We need to make sure that this type of individual embraces the philosophy of the Federation and recognizes us as colleagues.
I am honored and grateful to be part of this distinguished panel. Before I begin, though, I'd like to congratulate the National Federation of the Blind as you successfully advocated for the U.S. Treasury to produce the commemorative Louis Braille Silver Dollar, the very first coin minted with readable Braille. Let me also say that it's wonderful to know that the proceeds from the sale of this coin will be used to promote Braille literacy programs. That's great. Congratulations. What great work. You know, it's such an honor and such a privilege to serve with Secretary Arne Duncan. He has said over and over again, no belief is more damaging in education than the misperception that children with disabilities cannot really succeed and should not be challenged to reach the same high expectations as all children. I think everyone here today agrees that the issues of access and high expectations for all children and adults, including those who are blind or visually impaired, is not only a moral obligation, it is critical to the success of our nation. Anyone who has heard President Obama speak about education during the past 2 years, or has listened to Arne speak since he became the Secretary of Education, knows how important education is to this administration. Early on, President Obama made it clear that education is a top priority when he made it his goal that by 2020, America will once again have the highest proportion of college graduates in the world. But to get there, we need to start early. Secretary Duncan has said, too many children show up for kindergarten already behind, and many never catch up. I couldn't agree more. We must ensure that all children, especially infants, toddlers, and young children with disabilities, are identified early, begin receiving services as soon as possible, and have access to high-quality learning options so that they do not start kindergarten at a disadvantage. Toward this end, Secretary Duncan and U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius announced a new, unprecedented $500 million state-level grant competition as part of the Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge Fund. This competition will reward states that create comprehensive plans to transform early learning systems with better coordination, clearer learning standards, and meaningful workforce development for all students, especially including students who are blind or visually impaired. Please also know that as part of the U.S. Department of Education's 2012 budget, we, under the authorization of IDEA, is probably the only part of the agency that did not receive a decrease for 2012, but they have asked for an increase, $200 million more for IDEA and $50 million to fund Part C. There isn't any other part of the agency that can speak to the same level. That is the commitment that Arne and the President have towards working with kids with disabilities. We know this as well. Students also must have the tools needed to obtain a world-class education that prepares them for success in college and careers. For students who are blind or visually impaired, this includes early mastery of alternative skills of blindness. Now, those of you who have visited the great state of Kansas knows that it is a very rural state. Because of this, often the best place for a student who is blind to access the skills he or she needed was the Kansas State School for the Blind. As Commissioner of Kansas, I visited KSSB a number of times and observed students as they learned and mastered alternative skills of blindness, such as Braille, orientation and mobility training, and the use of technology. And I remember experiencing orientation and mobility training for a three-year-old and remarked how natural and easy it was for him to walk with a cane to navigate his environment. Let me tell you, I was humbled as I watched him. He was so comfortable. I then reminded myself, it wasn't remarkable, it's expected. The Kansas State School for the Blind expected the acquisition of these and other skills early in their student lines. The bottom line is this: no matter the educational setting, be that the school closest to home or a specialized school for the blind, we must consider paramount the individual needs of each and every student and concentrate on providing strong, high-quality instruction and skills training so that students who are blind or visually impaired will achieve true independence. Of course, learning doesn't stop after early childhood. It continues on in elementary, secondary, and post-secondary school. Indeed, we need to do a better job making sure students with disabilities, including students who are blind or visually impaired, complete college, because like all other students, not having a college education will prevent students with disabilities from getting that great job with a good salary, buying a home, supporting themselves and their families. What we know is this: in 2008, almost 60% of students with disabilities graduated from high school with a diploma. This is in comparison to 67% of all other students who graduated with a diploma. According to the National Longitudinal Study, the second version, about 39% of high school graduates with disabilities enroll in some level of post-secondary college annually, typically in a community college setting. While the percentage of youths with visual impairments enrolling in some form of post-secondary education, 78% in 2005, is higher than for most other disability groups, barriers remain that prevent students with print disabilities from keeping up with their classmates. These roadblocks continue to frustrate and discourage students who are blind or visually impaired, pushing them further away from their post-secondary goals instead of helping to reach them. If we are going to reach President Obama's 2020 goal, we need to do a better job making sure that more students with disabilities graduate from high school, enroll in a post-secondary institution, and complete their degree program. In today's world, access to technology is critical in this effort. According to the 2006 IES, the Institution of Educational Sciences study, post-secondary education is now a goal for 4 out of every 5 students with disabilities who are exiting high school with a transition plan. We know that for students without disability, technology makes things easier. But for students with disabilities, technology makes things possible. So, it's so nice to be talking to the choir. So we must ensure that each and every student going to college can access academic material once they get there. It's as simple as this: students who are blind or visually impaired must be given meaningful access to comprehensive assistive technology instruction. So in particular groups and individuals are denied access to technology, it's important to take a stand. Last June, the department, as Mark had talked about, the Department's Office for Civil Rights issued guidance to elementary and secondary schools and institutions of higher ed on their legal obligation to provide students with disabilities an equal opportunity to enjoy the benefits of technology, the infamous Kindle letter. This guidance is a critical step in the department's ongoing efforts to ensure that students with disabilities receive equal access to their educational benefits and services provided by their schools, colleges, and universities. The bottom line is this: technological devices must be accessible to students with disabilities, including students who are blind who have low vision. Yay. Toward this end, you have probably heard, and I know you've heard about it as it was referenced, you have heard of the Advisory Commission on Accessible Instructional Materials in Post-Secondary Education for Students with Disabilities. We really refer to it as the AIM Commission. I am proud to serve as a member and honored to do so with people like Geyer, who will follow me. And she chairs the commission, and Mark Riccobono, as was mentioned, executive director, serves on it as well. Margaret Mead once said, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." I believe this commission has the potential to open doors and break down barriers for students with print disabilities. It is the first commission in history charged with examining accessible instructional materials for post-secondary students with disabilities. I know Geyer will go into more detail about the commission shortly, so I'm not going to say much more, but I want to assure you that it is my intent to utilize the principles of universal design for learning as the commission's work progresses. We know that many learning problems are resident not in the child, but in the medium of instruction. For example, for students who are blind, who have physical disabilities, or have reading disabilities, textbooks impose barriers rather than opportunities for learning. UDL, Universal Design for Learning, enables, motivates, and inspires all students to achieve, regardless of background, languages, or abilities. And I'm happy to say that UDL is a cornerstone of the U.S. Department of Education's National Education Technology Plan. In addition to ensuring that technologies and content are designed for universal access, we must also ensure that assessments are properly designed so that the opportunity to learn is maximized for all students. We must improve our assessments so they measure what matters and improve students' learning experiences, to connect teachers so they can learn from each other and to meet the needs of all learners, students with special needs included. With that charge, 43 states, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the District of Columbia have adopted the Common Core standards, internationally benchmarked standards that reflect the knowledge and skills that our young people need for success in college and careers. But the potential of these standards will not be realized unless assessments measure whether students are reaching them. That's why the next generation of assessments being developed under the department's Race to the Top competition will be a game changer. When these new assessments are used in the 2014-2015 school year, millions of children and parents will know for the first time if students truly are on track for success in colleges and careers, and many teachers will finally have the assessments they have longed for, tests of critical thinking skills and complex learning tasks that are not just multiple choice fill-in-the-bubble tests of basic skills. Legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, once said, and yes, I was born and raised in the great state of Wisconsin, so I know him well. Vince Lombardi once said, "Individual commitment to a group effort, that is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work." I happen to agree totally and completely with Coach Lombardi. I truly feel that through better technology and access skills, we can and will absolutely improve access and accountability for people who are blind or visually impaired. Mastering alternative skills of blindness, guaranteeing access to technologies, implementing appropriate assessments, all of this is vital to ensuring that all students, including students who are blind or visually impaired, have access to a complete and competitive education from the day they are born to the day they begin a career. If we can do this successfully, we will be sure that all students are contributing fully to the President's goal for America to graduate more young people from college in 2020 than any other country in the world. Before I go, I would be remiss not to take the time to acknowledge one of the most successful programs providing employment to business owners who are blind, and I wish a very happy 75th anniversary to the Randolph Shepherd Vending Facility Program. For 75 years, this program has fostered many talented and creative individuals who are blind to acquire the management training and business skills necessary to realize the American dream, a lifetime of economic opportunity, independence, and self-sufficiency for themselves and their families. With proven ability, approximately 2,500 blind and visually impaired entrepreneurs have challenged preconceived notions about disability and have provided exceptional customer service to federal and state employees, the armed forces, and the general public. So happy birthday, Randolph Shepherd. In closing, I would like to share a quote from someone you've probably heard of, and I had the great opportunity to fly on a plane with him to Athens last week. Stevie Wonder once said, "We all have ability. The difference is how we use it. Use yours wisely." Thank you very much.